Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You, and I think Otto's mouth is stuck together with peanut butter at this point.
Yeah, you're fortunate.
And actually, we're going to head over to Kimberly, Commissioner Kimberly Corcoran-Galante, in reference to the 10th anniversary of Project. We're talking about the 5th anniversary of the radio show, but this is only a small piece, you know, of Project Independence, although the best, but a small piece.
That's right. Thank you, John.
I like
it. It is a big year here for Project Independence because we're going to be celebrating 10 years, a decade. And it's kind of amazing because I can remember being at the very, very first meeting. I was probably about 30 pounds thinner, but that's another story. But it was such a magical to be in that room in the presence of so many elected officials, residents, community leaders, and to really see a dream, a thought come alive and know that it was going to have an amazing ride and continue to have an amazing ride. Just thinking about it gives
this
me
was
chills.
Discussed like at a town hall type thing?
It was at CGM,
yeah.
In a town,
I had no
meeting,
idea.
Town meeting. And I can remember at some point thinking we were going to have nobody at the meeting, and then we had to switch rooms because we had so many people attend. And I can remember, much to the chagrin of somebody who I think has to be mentioned, Madge Kaplan, who was the commissioner at that time. We needed to take a picture, and I climbed on several chairs and a table so that I could get high enough to take a picture of everybody who was in the room. And just to see that it's
picture.
Still going and is so strong, and that we have new members joining every day, it truly is a gift. I'm honored that I can say that I'm still here.
Yeah, just in like the beginning of 2016, so far as of August, there's been 759 members who have signed up.
New,
so that
year.
New members, you know, right. And we're at like 11,600. Yeah. Ish, you know, currently, which is just, it's amazing because, like I said, the surveys keep coming in. You know, that's what's why people are turning 60 every day.
We said it earlier. What's the number of calls that Judy had said?
Well, the number of calls for 2016 for PI is 17,676, and that's just for 2016.
Right.
Townwide, it's 45,562. So we make about 39% of all the calls that come in, which is huge. I mean, you think about all the departments in the town. And the fact that Project Independence, you know, is a small little, you know, mm-hmm. program.
Right.
Really, it gets so many calls. It's wonderful.
It's a small program. When you actually, yeah, even budget-wise, it's probably a small program in the town. But the impact is really one of the biggest programs in this town,
I think.
It's
the little engine that does.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is. It's people at our 301 call center getting the information and making sure it goes to the right places. This team here, who every day makes things happen and really changes lives. It really is an amazing, it's an amazing little engine that really does an amazing thing. And it says so much about the program because it really is the little steps that you can that have such huge impacts on people's lives.
Well, that's what it's, you know, and each, you know, this number sounds so huge, the service, but one service request can be a thousand different. So, I mean, it's just
intense.
That one little thing that comes in can shoot off so many different services and assistance that the social workers and nurses provide and transportation. It's really a... It's special. It's a special program, and I think it's a testament to North Hempstead that they offer something so
right,
amazing.
I spent like 45 years in the corporate world, and I heard a lot of things over the years, a lot of pontificating about things that were going to be done. And to me, the success of Project Independence is one of the best I've seen above and beyond all of that, whatever I saw in the corporate life. Because of the commitment of the people. And I know, I believe the word schmaltzy was used before.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line is it's very hard not to be schmaltzy, yeah, about this whole situation, mm-hmm, because there's a lot of people in this room and others who have committed themselves to making it work. And I believe that the advisory committee concept was a very important part of it, because it actually was from the street level, if you will, that the program evolved. You know, it didn't evolve from there, but the input.
Absolutely. It's a huge piece of the puzzle.
Right.
You know,
let's
and that's
put it
really
this way. In the corporate world, it would have been, you talk to the customers before to find out what they needed,
right,
as opposed to inventing something and then going out and trying to find the customers.
Right.
Right.
In this case, the customers were talked to, at these meetings, and you know, the input was taken and used, and the program has grown tremendously.
You know, there was almost an element of disbelief when we first started talking about Project Independence, when it was kind of like, we're, you know, pounding the pavement, going to senior centers, fire departments, saying what programs are going to be available, what we can do as a town. And people would look at us just kind of like almost poo-poo it. Can I say that?
Yeah, okay.
You know, they really did. And now when we go and talk about Project Independence, if we happen to be kind of on a bordering town, maybe, you know, in New Hyde Park, and people that are in Hempstead or Queens, and they hear what we're doing, they're like, how come I can't do this? Right. Or how can we get this in my town? How does this happen? How come other towns don't do this?
And you tell them you don't have Kimberly, right?
We tell them that, you know, with the vision of our supervisor, we're able to continually, you know, provide these programs, services, and connections. But, you know, a lot of times, too, if somebody calls from outside the town, we don't hang up and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We say, you know,
you
here, we're like, well, you know.
So you really should move to North Hempstead.
But, you know, even with transportation, anything, we don't hang up. Obviously, we try to help them and connect them to the partners and the services that might be in their town. And they want to know, how do we start it up an hour? Or how do we do this? And, you know, we can give a little advice. But that's where it went from this kind of feeling of disbelief, like, oh, this will never happen, to other areas, even nationally. I mean, we've been in nationally recognized magazines, publications, programs, you know, to how do we get this in my town.
Just actually a question that I don't know if anybody has the answer. Like, we have partners, obviously.
That's what I was actually just
going to
talk
about.
Oh,
then you go there.
What I was going to say is that we have, it's almost like a magical formula, that this partnership model, that, you know, we have this, really, this triad of local government, human service, and healthcare. And when, you know, when we understood bringing those three pieces together is how we were going to best serve the community, that, I think, you know, that the concept of partnership is really how all our initial programs started. We, you know, it wasn't going out to say, what can the town pay for? It was, what's out there that we can bring in.
Right, not duplicating anything.
Never duplicating. And we really found so many unique programs that served individuals and, you know, primarily seniors, that we were able to incorporate into the programming of Project Independence, that ultimately we were able to serve more and more people. So that we always have to remember how important, you know, the partnership aspect of this is, the, you know, the public-private together. And I just want a little shout out to our nurses and social workers.
Yeah.
And we've really had almost the exact same team in place from the beginning in the different regions, the dedicated staff. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to hear a lot of the human service aspect and really what happens out in the field when Project Independence is out there. But it's our DOSA team, you know, that's been here from the beginning. But our partners have really been amazing.
Yeah, and just, you know, so, a little shout out to the social workers and nurses, because when I was doing the numbers for the supervisor, just for 2016, the social worker nursing staff have provided 20,084 units of service
right.
Which, I mean, is really astonishing. I mean, from the nurses, that's blood pressure screenings, medication management, and intakes and assessments. And, you know, the social workers are doing, you know, counseling and caregiver assistance and entitlement. And I mean, there's so many layers to that. And the unduplicated amount of people they've served just this year is 1,284. And that's just, I mean, all the services that go for that
people.
Is just, it's phenomenal. And it's
let's
really
not
great.
Forget about how it all works, which is really a shout out to 311.
Yeah.
Our call center, which is dynamic in that any call that comes in for Project Independence, as we know, goes through 311. An SR service request is created. It's tracked. It's never lost. The SR, if it's for a Project Independence, because as we know, it could be for anything in the town, from a pothole to someone requiring some kind of assistance through a Project Independence partner. All SRs come in right through Paula, and Paula makes a determination based on region and requirement and request. what is best and who would get this call, whether it's a social worker, a nurse, you know, whether it's a call back from one of us in the office to just give an information on a fitness class. It could be the whole gamut of things. And because of 311, we're able to do this just, you know, so efficiently.
I agree completely.
Thanks, Vin.
When this first started, I remember being in meetings where we talked about, you know, Project Independence is not going to do the work necessarily. They're going to facilitate and coordinate and guide. And I used to talk about call 1-800-PROJECT-INDEPENDENCE.
You were our best commercial at the beginning.
That was before the 311 idea existed. So the whole idea was, you know, call 1-800-PROJECT-INDEPENDENCE, and a caseworker, a social worker, a nurse, whatever, will come to your home, will evaluate your situation. This is not a charity, because people look upon some of these things as a charity. This is really an extension of caring about the people in the community and being able to guide you in the stages of your life where you need some guidance.
Right. And that 311
is the nucleus of...
Right. And that's an interesting point, because, you know, as we started initially was this very small NORC model, just two census tracts in New High Park. And, you know, when we realized we had to shift into a town-wide model, it took on a very, very different element of how we're going. Same way we did it, but it really became, you know, how do we do this?
How do we
operationalize this one small program that we know is working and make sure it's successful? So that was some of, you know, the trickier challenges. And I guess that was back in like 2008, 2009. But, you know, and what was decided at the time was that, you know, we were going to break it into small bites. We were going to go one region at a time, and we were going to look at each community as its own community, create those advisories, because those are the people that know their community the best. And then we were looking at what were the needs of that community, which are different, you know, throughout our township.
There's seven now, right?
Well, we combined kind of, you know, we have Great Neck with Manhasset and, you know, but the regions, you know, we have offices in most of the regions as well. But it's really the way we did it, I think, really created, you know, a success.
Well, this is not something, you know, when people say they'd like it in their town.
Right.
It's 10 years. It's the merging of community services with those. I mean, it's just... There's so much history.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is not just, let's start up, you know, in New Jersey someplace. It's not happening.
Right.
No.
But it's very interesting, you know, we call it a service delivery model. The model how we deliver these services, and I really think, you know, we've, as Beck was saying before, you know, when you look at how do we deliver services to seniors, this model is really something very, very special. And yes, it, you know, initially, you know, you have to really put the effort into it and you have to find the right people. But I hope that it's a model that someday a lot of other places will be using, because, you know, I think it makes a difference.
The model's got to stay small, so it has the human contact and the human element. Otherwise, if it gets too big, it's going to become bureaucratic.
It can't be a corporate model.
And then it won't work.
Right. And we're almost out of time.
We're out of time again. We're taking a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.